But 50 years ago, or more than 50 years ago, in 1950, there was a cartoon, a comic strip that was created by Charles Schulz called Charlie Brown. And it ran for 50 years up until the year 2000. How many Charlie Brown fans? How many? Okay, number of your fans. And so there was a character in there, Linus, and Linus would always carry around a what?
Blanket,
right? He'd have his security blanket with him. And we're going to talk this morning about a security blanket and that we can so easily replace God with our own security blankets that we see. And so I invite you to take your Bible, turn on your mobile device to Matthew chapter 14 as we look at this passage. And in reading the passage, you'll see why God sent the weather that he did this weekend. Because it all ties in. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Sound familiar? That's this weekend, yeah. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, we're going to look at this passage this morning. And one of my favorite Bibles to read is something called the Serendipity Bible, which has questions in the margins. And I like that. It helps me to kind of digest and dig into the text. And sometimes I read something, I can easily forget it. But I like sometimes asking questions about a text. And so this morning I want to ask four questions about this text. And the first question is, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Now the obvious answer is Jesus in the boat? No, he's not, right? He's out on the water. And sometimes we can find in the Christian life that we think Jesus is a place where it's safe, where it's secure, where our comfort zone is. But oftentimes, Jesus will be out where the storm is. And it's safer to be with Jesus out where the storm is than to be in our own little boat. Because sometimes, you know, the culture will say to us, you know, stay in your boat, you know, just choose comfort, you know, grab the lazy boy recliner, you know, it's not a risky recliner, it's a lazy boy recliner, you know, and sometimes the world tells us it's about our comfort. And sometimes the church can sometimes convey that same message. You know, we think, oh, it's a scary world out there. It's a scary place. And so we think, let's go into a retreatist mindset, you know, and we become fearful. And we think we got to stay in the boat. But the reality here in the story is Jesus is not in the boat. And sometimes it's that call to risk, that call to sacrifice, that call to take our leg and just put it over top of the gunwale and venture out where Jesus is. I put on your outline there, Matthew 19 says, "And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life." Now, I can like that part about inheriting eternal life, but not so much like that part about giving up or sacrificing. We have here Jesus out in the water, out on the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, it was surrounded by mountains. And, of course, I can't show you a picture of this morning, but it's got mountains on it. on the side of it. It's 635 feet below sea level. The mountains go up 2,650 feet. And what the Sea of Galilee was known for, these fierce storms that would come up. There'd be some winds that would come from the east side and come across that water. And, one ancient writer that I read this week, he talked about 7 feet high waves. So you can imagine the disciples in their tiny fishing boat and these 7 feet high waves, coming against the boat. And how are they described there? Take a look in your text there, verse 24. But the boat was already considerable distance from land. But I've got in the NIV, buffeted by the waves. What do you got in your translation there? How are the waves described? Same, buffeted by waves. Somebody else got something different? Battered by waves, yep. Buffeted by waves. Tossed by waves. Yeah, I've got a few words like that. Beaten by waves is the English Standard Version. The word there literally means tormented by waves. So you can imagine the depth of this storm, the brutality of this storm that these waves are coming against. And as I read the other gospel accounts, in Mark's account, he describes the disciples as straining against the oars, because the wind and the waves are just battering, beating against the tiny boat that they're in. Now, they're away from land. How far away from land are they? What does verse 24 say? Shout it out. Sorry, what do you got? Hundreds of yards. Okay, somebody else, something else? Far away, yeah. Okay, in the midst of the sea. Anybody got stadia in your translation or down in your footnote? You've got stadia in there. Stadia would be the equivalent of, it says many stadia. Does King James say many stadia? Or do they, a stadia would be the equivalent of 2 football fields. So many is how many? Many is like 5, 6. What do you say? Few is 3 or 4. So many stadia. So let's say 5 times 2 football fields. So you could say like 10 football fields, So that's how far they are away from the land. And they're straining against the oars. They're trying to get back in. And they've been out there for 9 hours. And no doubt as they're going and they're trying to get back to land, they're probably thinking to themselves, what are we doing out here in the boat? These guys, some of them are quite experienced fishermen. They knew the wind. They knew the weather. They knew to look, at the skyline. Is it safe to go out? Is it not safe to go out today? Should we take the boat out? Not take the boat out? And there's 2 guys there, the Sons of Thunder, they're called, James and John. So if their nickname is the Sons of Thunder, you can kind of imagine, what their personality is like. No doubt these guys are leaders. They're fishermen. They've got a fishing business together with their father. And I'm just kind of, reading between the lines here, but I'm wondering, if they're, they're kind of straining against the oars and maybe sometimes putting their sail up and trying to tack and trying to get back to land, and because 7-foot-high waves, you can just imagine, that fishing boat and people would die on the Sea of Galilee. And they're kind of thinking, whose idea was this? Like, why are we out here? And I could just picture those 2 Sons of Thunder kind of going, whose idea was this? Bartholomew, was this your idea to come out? No, it wasn't my idea. Thomas, was this your idea? I doubt it. Whose idea was it? As they're thinking to themselves, like, whose idea was it to go out? Take a look at your text, verse 22. Who made them get into the boat? Immediately, Jesus made the disciples. What do you got there for verse 22? Jesus, I've got made the disciples. You got something different there? Shout it out. He had them get into the boat. Yes. He insisted they get into the boat. Yeah, the word there is a very strong word in the Greek. It's compelled, it's insisted, it's made. It's almost like he forced them into the boat. It's like, hey guys, you're going. He just kind of pushed them into the boat, pushed them out in the storm, or into the boat, out onto the lake. Suddenly they find themselves in the storm, They're bouncing up and down on those waves, and the wind is beating against them. For 9 hours they're out there, and suddenly it's like, who sent us out here? Whose idea was this? This was Jesus' idea. Why would Jesus send them out into the storm. Same things he does for you and for me, right? See, sometimes we think we're in a storm in life. And we think, oh, well, what did I do wrong? Why did I mess up to be here? But maybe God has you right where he wants you to be in that midst of that storm. Because just because you're in a storm doesn't mean you're out of God's will. You could be totally in God's will. There are storms that God uses to perfect us and to correct us and to change us and to mold us to make him more like himself. Jesus had the disciples right where he wanted them to be. And we are meant to be water walkers. We are meant to step out of the boat. Because like I said, that's where Jesus is. In response to the first question, where is Jesus? He's out on the water. And as we move forward, as a church, individually, as we go into the fall season, as we follow the cloud, don't you want to be a water walker? Don't you want to, make your life count? That at the end of your life, at the end of my life, that we don't just say, well, I played it safe. Others stepped out. Others went to Revelstoke. But I hunkered down and just huddled in the boat because the boat seemed like such a safe place to be. But if Jesus calls us, don't we want to follow? And so that raises my second question about this text. Will you take the risks that faith requires? Will you take the risks that faith requires? Because if you and I want to walk on water, we got to get out of the boat. See, sometimes we can look at this story and we can look at Peter stepping out of the boat and then he becomes fearful and he looks down, he sees the waves and the wind and he begins to sink and he cries out and Jesus rescues him. And we can look at Peter and we can think, oh, he was a failure. But really, was Peter a failure? Because he was the guy who stepped out of the boat, right? Jesus issued the invitation there. And take a look in your text, verse 29. What's the first word? Shout it out. Come. Does it call the disciples by name? Does Jesus say, come Peter? Comes James? Come? No. He issues an open invitation, right? To all 12 of the guys in the boat. Come. But Peter was the only guy who stepped over the edge of the boat and actually ventured out. And so we can look at Peter and we can say, oh, he's a failure. No, I think we've got to redefine failure in our lives, right? He was the one who ventured out. He was the one who was willing to step out. He was the one who took the risk. He was the one who obeyed that open invitation to come. It was issued to all of them, but Peter was the one who took the chance. Is it safer to stay in the boat? Or is it safer to accept that invitation, to embrace it, and to put our feet over the gunwale and to take a risk, take a chance? What about you? Will you take the risks that faith requires? Because again, we can sometimes think, oh, Jesus makes our life more safe. Jesus makes our life more secure. But if you were to ask Peter in this story, did it feel safe to you, Peter? Did it feel secure to you? He'd be like, say what? I said, what? I had to step out. I had to do what I'd never done before. I had to do what no human had ever done before. Does that sound safe or secure to you? No, but he'd say, I went because Jesus called me. And I followed his voice and I took that risk. What about you? As we go into fall season, and it certainly seems fall given the weather, that has come with a vengeance. What is God calling you to? Faith will often induce fear, right? We'll have to face down our fear. And maybe the thing that you fear the most is your security blanket. Perhaps you're afraid of losing your health, and your health means everything to you. But is that your security blanket? Because again, one visit to the doctor can change all that. Maybe your security blanket is the future and you've got everything kind of laid out and everything planned out. And maybe you have your day of retirement on the calendar and you're like a criminal in prison. You're just marking X's on the calendar waiting for that certain day to come, But is that your security? Is that what it's going to lie in? You know, or maybe your security is a certain relationship, you know, and when you just find that right person, that will make everything right. Or maybe you say security is pleasing a certain person. You go through life and you need to please that person. And that's kind of your boat that you stay in. You know, we heard this morning the young couple, Jamie and Jamie, taking that step to Revelstoke. Maybe God's calling you to a step of faith, you know? Like John and Julia, we heard from them a couple weeks ago, taking that step of faith, going over to China. You know, what about you? Maybe some of us, God is calling us to short-term missions or to long-term missions. What would that step of faith look like for you? Maybe it's to get involved in a ministry this year. I see in our bulletin, Lydia has asked for KU helpers. And maybe some of you can respond to that. You know, it's not a big step of faith, but it's a step of faith. You say, well, I don't have kids in KU. Well, that makes you the perfect candidate, you know, because, you know, the mom who's coming in with the diaper bag and the two ankle biters and the one speed bump behind her, you know, it's a little hard to volunteer in KU at that point. But maybe you're an empty nester and you've got freedom, you can come. You know, maybe that's a step of faith, to get involved in a ministry. Maybe it's to leverage your resources for the kingdom. You believe in the spread of the gospel and the shalom, God's shalom for our world. And maybe this fall, you want to just leverage your resources to greater giving. Maybe you want to get involved in a small group this fall. I'm praying for 20 small groups to be in our church this fall. And so some of us need to step forward to be involved in a small group. Maybe you want to be an apprentice leader in a small group. Maybe you want to open your home to host a small group. In a couple of weeks, you will have an opportunity to sign up to be a part of a small group. I mean, there's so many areas. I could go on and on, right, in terms of areas. And each of us need to ask ourselves, what is God calling me to? What risk is God calling me to in terms of faith? Because in the Bible, faith is often spelled R-I-S-K. What is the risk that he's calling you to? Okay, third question from our text. Will you trust the one who calls you out of the boat? Will you trust the one who calls you? Okay, verse 25. What time is it there in verse 25? Somebody want to shout out? About 4 a.m., something like that. It's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. It's the fourth watch of the night. The Romans would have four night watches, and so this is the fourth watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So, you know, kind of, let's say it's the middle of that time. So sometime 4:30 in the morning is when Jesus comes out to them, and he's walking on water. Matthew describes them as being afraid. Not surprising, you know, because there was a legend at this time about spirits arising in the storms on the Sea of Galilee, you know, and so they're thinking, oh, is this one of those spirits, you know, is this a ghost? That's what they cry out, right? Is it a ghost, you know? And so they're looking around for Dan Aykroyd and the Ghostbusters, you know, it's like, well, we got a ghost on the lake there. And that's when they realize, no, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. And he gives them words of encouragement. He says, verse 27, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Wow, words of hope, words of peace in the midst of that. Take courage, it is I. That phrase there, it is I, literally translates, I am. Take courage, I am. Remember a couple weeks ago, we looked at Moses and the burning bush, and Moses says to God in his dialogue, he says, well, what am I going to say to Pharaoh when he asks, you know, who's your God? Who sent you? Remember I said that for Egyptian gods, they were like passwords that were used, the name of the God. And then God says, I am. I am who I am. Jesus picks up on that here, and he says, take courage, I am. Will you and I trust the resurrected Jesus, the great I am, who he is, who the gospel writers describe him at? I was looking at Paul. Paul and I were talking this week. He led a small group last year in our church, and they were discussing the gospel of John. And he was telling me about the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. That I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the gate. I am the way, truth, life. I am... What am I missing, Paul? Well, you can ask Paul about it. You know, it's these seven I am statements that go through John. Here Jesus says, I am. Will you trust the I am? The one who is calling you, that you know his voice. See, we're not talking this morning in this passage about extreme water sports. We're not talking about just risk for the sake of risk. Right? Because some people live their lives that way. Right? And some people live their lives in risk that aren't following God. Right? Today, in 400 churches in North America, a pastor is resigning because his name was found on the Ashley Madison website. You know, that's just foolishness. That's not following God. We're not talking here risk just for the sake of risk. We're talking about following the voice of the one who calls us. Now that, of course, raises the question, when do you know if it's God who's calling you or not calling you? Like there's a story here in Paul Yonggi Cho's book, The Fourth Dimension, where he describes three girls that were going to a youth meeting in the Samgag Mountain. And they're going to hear this woman speaker, Yun Hei Kayon, who had a great ministry, and they're going to this youth meeting, and there's a tremendous flood that's happening. The riverbank is flooding, it's stormy and raining like our weekend was here. But the three girls come to the edge of the river and they say, "Why can't we wade through the water? Peter walked on the water, and Peter's God is our God. Peter's Jesus is our Jesus, and Peter's faith is our faith. Peter believed, and we can do all the more. We're going to go over this river." And so they knelt down on the bank of this river, they prayed, they quoted the scripture, Matthew 14, and they said, "Jesus, we believe. Jesus, we're going to walk across the water just like Peter did." And they joined arms, and they began to walk. There were some other teenagers that were watching them, calling them back, and they began to walk. And they began to walk, and then their bodies were swept away. 3 days later, the police found them. And the headlines in the newspaper said, their faith couldn't save them. Or, their God didn't, let me quote what the headlines are, that their God didn't come through for them. Now, is that a matter of God not coming through? Or is that a matter of not hearing God's voice? Was God up there in heaven looking down saying, girls, don't walk through there. That's just foolishness to walk through. See, Peter here heard the call here. And you and I need to discern what is the Spirit saying to us. Not what somebody else's calling is, but what is our calling. And that's also why I believe it's so important to be part of a small group. I don't know if it happened in this story, but maybe it did. Maybe Peter was like, come. Oh, I heard him call, come. He's like, guys, did he say come? Was that Jesus calling us to come? Should I go? James, should I go? Yeah, I think I should go. Thomas, should I go? Well, I doubt it. Should I go? Maybe I don't know if he asked the other guys, you know, but he stepped out, and no doubt the other guys who were still in the boat were like, Peter, Peter's doing it. Look at Peter, like he's walking on water. Yeah, Peter, go, Peter. They're cheering him on. When you and I are part of a small group, yeah, we have questions we wonder about. Should I move to Revelstoke or not move to Revelstoke? Well, do you like snow? And maybe you've got a question that you're wondering, is God calling me to this certain something? You know, should I move to Alaska? And you ask your small group, and they say, yes, you love Alaska. You're always watching those nature shows. You're always talking about the snow and the cold, you know, and you've been there before. Or your small group will say, huh? Alaska? You've never mentioned Alaska before, you know? Why would God be calling you to something you've never thought of before kind of thing, you know? And having other believers around who can pray and counsel and guide us into that can be so important. to trust, help us to discern God's voice. Will you trust the one who calls you out of your boat? And the fourth and final question is, what is your boat? What is your boat? See, I'm defining this morning as your boat as being that which represents your security apart from God. What are you hanging on to for security apart from faith and trust in Him? And like Linus, has that become kind of your security blanket that you just kind of take with you wherever, that you're holding on just in case I start sinking, just in case God doesn't come through for me, just in case. And God's calling you today to let it go, to let it go, even in the midst of the storm. Because, you know, if Peter would have waited till the storm died, he might have missed that opportunity, you know? Some of you like me, you stayed home yesterday. How many stayed home? Yeah. Like the RCMP told us, how many of you are storm chasers? You thought, I got no power here. I got to get out, see what's happening. Some of you like that, full confession. Oh, yeah, look at that. Some of you are quite proud of that. Oh, yeah, I'm going. Traffic lights aren't on. I don't care. I want to see what's happening out there. You know, some of us are like that. We follow Jesus. It's about Him. We don't wait for the storm to end, right? If we were to wait for all the lights to turn green, you'd never leave your house, right? Now, you are supposed to wait till the lights are on, but, you know, we don't necessarily wait till they all turn green. And as I said, it's safer to be with Jesus out in the storm than to be without Him inside the boat. But I say, don't focus on the boat. Don't focus on the risk. Don't focus on others in the boat. But focus on Him and His calling for you. Because first and foremost, this is a story about Jesus. What happens at the end? Last verse that I read. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. See, it's not about us. It's not about our steps of faith or our risk. It's about Him. And joining together with these disciples in worshiping Him, or as Mark's gospel describes it, that they were amazed at Jesus, that you and I would be astounded by Jesus, we'd be surprised by Jesus, we would be in awe of Jesus, because it's about Him and what He's doing, more than about us, our steps of faith or our risk or anything like that, because we live to follow Him. Let's go to prayer. For some of us this morning, I'm wondering, is Jesus calling us to a step of faith in some area of our life? Again, it's His voice for you, His calling to you. Why don't we all just kind of pray into that now? And maybe even as the prayers go to the sides, and you want someone to pray with you this morning, because God's calling you to a step of faith. Maybe you're fearful of it. Maybe you just got to speak the truth to love in someone, and you're afraid of that. Or maybe you've got to get help with that addiction, and you need to face that down. And maybe you want somebody to pray, or maybe there's some step of faith. Maybe even, you know, hearing from Jamie, God's calling you maybe to go back to school or career change, whatever it may be. Just listen now. God brought you here this morning. He wants to speak to you. Oh, Jesus, you called Peter and the others 2,000 years ago to take the step of faith. And one of them did. And today, August 30th, you're calling some of us to take steps of faith. And some of us are hanging on to the gunwales for dear life. Remind us of who our security is in. Some of us we've gotten so comfortable, and you're calling us to more. Help us to see that the reward is so much greater than the risk. Help us to see you for who you truly are. A God who is more powerful than nature. You calmed the storm back then, 2,000 years ago on the Sea of Galilee. You calmed the storm this weekend here in the Lower Mainland. And you can do it in our lives as well. Help us to be men and women who respond to you because you first loved us. Amen.